Images of thousands of people trapped under blood-red skies on the beach at Mallacoota were beamed around the world on New Year's Eve. They were horrifying scenes, and they became a powerful symbol of Australia's rolling bushfire disaster. It prompted then the largest civilian maritime evacuation in Australia's history. And now the Victorian town is counting the cost, both financial and psychological. John White is a grazier of 46 years in Lindenau South. He's also the mayor of the East Gippsland Shire Council. John, welcome back to Breakfast.
Thanks for that, Tom.
When we last spoke to you, it was the Monday just before New Year's Eve. Did you have a sense then how badly it would get in the following days?
No, not really. We knew it was serious because of the area that was being burnt, but the way it panned out on that night and the destruction by the following morning was just, I think it was incomprehensible to most people. And it set in motion a learning from that night that the next time we were going to be impacted, people took a lot more notice. And of course, the tourists this time absolutely left. They left in droves because they probably got the fright of their lives in that sort of 24 to 36 hour period.
We're now 2 weeks down the track and there's a slight sense of relief in the air after the cooler weather and a bit of rain came through since late Friday, just before the weekend. But Mallacoota's still facing enormous and fairly immediate challenges. Are the roads still cut off?
They are actually able to leave at this stage unless there's been other damage, but they can actually leave via the Prince's Highway now, but they can only go north, which means they travel up towards Canberra. So anyone who lives in Melbourne and wants to come home, they've got a dreadfully long drive. It's almost going to be like another holiday for them. They'll trek off right up around Canberra and down the Hume. So that is the only way they can get out because the Orbost to Cairn River section is still completely blocked and it could be blocked for some time to come. The number of trees and the size of them is apparently quite astounding.
So how much work will it take to clear that road?
They're still talking, they're not talking days, it's still weeks, the last report I got. So, but we have the army up there doing a lot of that work. And of course, our local agencies in Victoria, the DELP and the forestry. So they're doing what they can, but it is an incredibly big job apparently.
And have you been able to quantify the economic impact so far? Obviously, this is a hugely important time for tourism, normally the lifeblood of the economy at this time of year. Have you got any sense of how big that hit has been?
It's something that we've started to work on straight away, and there's discussions with chambers of commerce and individuals, but one person got back to me straight away to actually indicate that for a period, say around the Christmas time, they take about $20,000 in that short time, and this year the takings has been just over $200, and they've actually just had to let their staff go at this stage. So that's a massive hit.
And what about the psychological toll? Can you give us a sense of how people are feeling?
I think, I don't know that everything's fully sunk in, but one of the first things that sort of comes to the fore is a bit of anger, but not anger at anyone in particular. I think the anger just comes from the shock and the disappointment. But other than that, everybody's really being stoic and united, because this is a natural disaster. Everybody's done the best they can, but it is nobody's fault.
And what have you made of the response of the government? Clearly, the Defence Force did focus on Mallacoota making that evacuation. And then soon after that, we had the announcement of the Defence Force reservists being called out, and they hit the field quite quickly. There was also the big announcement of the $2 billion emergency support. How have you seen that support roll out? Has it hit the ground? Is it making a difference?
It's already available. We just want to make absolutely sure that as it's rolled out correctly, and we don't make mistakes in doing it, because the last thing we want to do is to perhaps go off in the wrong direction and then have to regroup and start again. So immediately, people have been getting that emergency relief cash, those that have been affected and evacuated. And at this stage, it's not council's money. It is the government's money, but the organisation that's handling that have already put out about $1.5 million, just that immediate assistance for families.
Right, okay. What are those mistakes that you're concerned about making, so therefore you're not rushing anything?
Oh, it just could even be as simple as making sure we start progressing, the right areas first. We've still got areas that are still isolated and can't be reached yet. There's hope that fodder drops can be done with the military helicopters to get feed into these places where they've got it's all burnt and the stock is still alive, but they're very, very hungry. But I'm just sort of thinking, you wouldn't focus on perhaps trying to rebuild some burnt bridges before you actually sorted all the people who've lost their homes, things like that. Just to make sure we get our priorities exactly right and look after the people. Because it's a drought, many of these bridges, so they're burnt, they're actually only going over gullies, dry gullies. So with the army here, we'd probably get a sidetrack put in straight away for access, but certainly we wouldn't be going down the path of rebuilding straight away.
And I hear that you've been overwhelmed by donations and generosity. You even ran out of room to store some of the donated goods and food. Are you at the point where you don't want any more donated goods and you only want money, or are donated goods still really helpful in your community?
There is a big sign that I saw yesterday driving into Bairnsdale that says, please, no more donations of goods.
Wow.
So we are full up. It's being handed out, but it came in at such a rate that we didn't even have the capacity to store it. Some things are stored in other towns still, like Sale and Traralgon. So that's, we've filled up everything here because the storage space we have is only from the generosity of people that sort of said, oh, well, we've got a warehouse, it'll be empty for a bit, and you're welcome to use it. So these are mostly private people within the Shire being generous as well, even though we're all impacted here.
And people have been turning up with money. Tell us about the check you got on Sunday.
Actually, it was last Friday. Some young people had been doing a T-shirt run with a logo on it supporting Gippsland or East Gippsland, and they started to sell quite a few. And they made contact with me that they'd raised $20,000. Then they gave another call the same day to say it had actually grown to 30, and then would it be tax deductible? So I checked that our preferred fund, which is the Gippsland Emergency Relief Fund, is a tax deductible organisation and non for profit. And later that day, the amount rose to $150,000 from these great young Australians.
Wow.
And then one of this young fellow's mates just runs a limo business for weddings and things, and when it became a tax deduction for him, he chipped in with his own contribution of, I think, $33,800. So they were invited to Bairnsdale, and we certainly got some good photos of them for their own benefit and to put it out there to the public. It's just what a marvellous job they'd done, and presenting us with $183,000.
Wow, incredible.
In such a short time too. So people's generosity has absolutely overwhelmed us here. And of course, they're not the only people that are donating, but it was just such a significant effort from some really fine young people.
Yeah, heartwarming story there. John White, thank you so much for joining us on RN Breakfast, and all the best for the next few days, weeks and months.
Yeah, we're very, very heavily shrouded in smoke again today, so
wow.
That just indicates that we still have a big fire burning, and it's not over as yet. And I've just here on your telly show that we might be going to get some rain, so if that's the case, it'd probably be quite welcome.
Absolutely. All right, thank you so much, John.
All right, thanks then, Tom.
John is the Mayor of the East Gippsland Shire Council.